Well, good morning. Kind of a fun morning, isn't it? A lot of fun, a great morning. Man, baptism, is there any better way to start off the Sunday, this Thanksgiving service that we do than that? That is, I gotta tell you, as a pastor, it's one of the most awesome things that I get to do is to be there and baptize those who make their faith public and want the world to know that they've decided to follow Jesus. If you're new here, I will tell you today's a little different. This is not our normal everyday, every Sunday event. It is a little different. And, so it's good that occasionally we get both congregations here, because I know sometimes you kind of think, well, who are they and what do they do? And so today's a good test and a good way for you to kind of see, you know, the other people in that other service, right? Isn't that how we think of it sometimes? But you may think, though, what is the significance of doing something in November? Well, you know, as Baptists, we are Baptists, and food is always the only reason we ever need to get together. But it is more than that for us as a church. It's beyond just food today. 44 years ago, November the 21st, 1971, the first worship service of what was then the West Des Moines Baptist Fellowship was held, which is what we now call today Ashworth Road Baptist Church. And I brought a few mementos from that time period. I mean, it's amazing to me that people were thoughtful enough to keep it, but we actually do have scrapbooks here that highlight some of the early days. So on the screen here, you're going to see a flyer that we sent out before the church started. You can see it gives some information. They were meeting at Fair Meadows School. Bible teaching was 9:30, worship is 10:30. I mean, things have adjusted 15 minutes either way, but not much has changed, right? First service, November the 21st. One of the other pieces in this scrapbook that I find fascinating is the first bulletin from the very first Sunday, and here it is on the screen. You can tell it's got the Thanksgiving theme, meeting at Fair Meadows. There was a prelude, and let's see, some songs were sung, and then special music was sang, and then an invitation hymn, and oh, and look, even evening worship was there at 6:30, so you can see some announcements. Isn't that fun to look at? I appreciate those who had the foresight to kind of keep some of our history preserved so that we could look back and see where we were and what we came from. You know, as we look at these things, it's easy for us to tell, and we kind of laugh, but things have certainly changed over the years. I mean, let's just be honest, 1971, I wasn't even born. For those of you who thought I was old and thought the beard was a little grayer this year than last, I'm not that old. 1971, a lot has changed. They started meeting in a school. From there, they bought a house just down here on Ashworth Road, and in the late 70s, they bought this property that we sit on currently. I'm amazed that somebody had the wisdom and insight to buy this property, because when they bought it, it was cornfields and dirt roads. I mean, none of this was here. But somebody had the foresight to say this would be a good investment. This would be a great place to put a church. And I have to say, sitting on this side of history, job well done. It's a great place. Absolutely great. Over the years, faces have changed. And we've seen that even in my 8 years here at Ashworth Road, and maybe in your time here too, you've seen a lot of faces change. But you know, one of the things that has never changed is the original mission of the church. Also preserved in that scrapbook is a piece of paper, which was a mission statement that they used, that they crafted back in 1971. They said, here's our guidelines that we're going to use as a church as we go forward. I pulled a few of them out this week. I'm going to put them on the screen. To be a church that reaches out to people in our community with the message of Jesus. To show our community Jesus and His love. And to rely upon the Holy Spirit in everything we do. You know, in the 44 years for us as a church, there's a lot that's changed. But I'm here to tell you, this hasn't changed. This is exactly the same as when we started day one, 44 years ago. We want to be today a church that reaches out to people in our community with the message of Jesus Christ. What separates us from other social organizations is that message of Jesus Christ, that life transforming power that He offers and brings to us, to show our community Jesus and His love. You guys know, if you've been here any time at all, we are not content to sit inside these four walls. We are not content to circle the wagons and say us and no more. In fact, we look for opportunities repeatedly to say, how can we get outside these walls and go into our community and show our community who Jesus is, to reveal to them His love. That's still very much part of our DNA today. And to rely upon the Holy Spirit in everything we do, that certainly hasn't changed from your pastoral staff. I'm just going to tell you, every Sunday morning before I stand up here to preach, I pray these words, God, you know I have nothing to say. That the only thing worth saying is what you have to say. And so, God, we ask you, I ask you to speak through me today and bring the words of life that only the Spirit can bring. So a lot has changed, but I tell you, a lot hasn't, because we're still a church that exists today to make an impact. We want to be a church that actually doesn't just exist, but we want to be a church that's noticed and known. And more importantly than that, we want to be a church that gets our God noticed and known. And that drives us each and every day in what we do. You know, we don't have to look back 44 years to see a lot of change, though, do we? In fact, for some of us, just look around this room, we only have to look back, what, a year, and we see tremendous change. I've been your lead pastor 3.5 years. I've been on staff here at Ashworth Road 8, and I'm just going to tell you, a lot has changed, especially in the last year. Looking at the foyer in this sanctuary, isn't that amazing? Isn't it beautiful what we've been able to do this year, what God has been able to do? And I just want to, for a moment, just brag on you as a church. Because you know what we did is we came and we said, here's a vision, here's a plan, it's time to make some changes. And we said, will you help us? And you opened your checkbooks very generously, and we raised over $96,000 to renovate this place. And then in October, against my better judgment and going back and asking people for more money, we came back and we said, hey, we need more money. We wanted money for missions this time, to go out into the world and fund these missions organizations and missions projects. And you know what you did? You opened your checkbooks again and you gave over $10,000. And so in addition to our regular budget, this congregation has given over $106,000 in the last 12 months. It's not just to make this church look pretty. It's to help create a space where people feel welcome and invited here, and we can continue to do exactly what you see on the screen. And you should be commended for that. But that isn't all we've done this year when we think about missions. We've done a bunch of stuff, haven't we? We sent over 25 people to Crow Creek Reservation at different times this year, including our high school youth group. Our junior high youth group spent a week in Minneapolis, Minnesota, spreading the gospel of Jesus and working and being involved in social organizations. We had 4 from Ashworth Road spend a week in Slovakia. And then we even helped support a student or two from InterVarsity go to China this summer. Isn't that amazing? This year, we also increased our outreach efforts. We worked really hard to say, we want to make sure our community notices that we're here. So we did a couple of movie nights. We did one of our best vacation Bible schools ever. That was my favorite day, that picture you see on the screen. I got to blow toilet paper all over the room. It was awesome. And we did a tailgate there for Drake University for the students there, which was just amazing. And I'll tell you, there are people in this room right now, it wasn't the staff that helped pull that tailgate off to feed over 100 people, and we couldn't have done it without them. Deb Richards is an amazing organizer, and I'm just going to tell you, that tailgate was phenomenal because of her efforts and what she did. You realize this year, today, we baptized now 7 people this year. Isn't that amazing? Hey, go ahead and clap for that one. That's a good one. That's a good one. 7 baptisms this year. 7 people step forward and say, we want to make our faith in Jesus Christ public. And they did. Very special for me because I got to baptize 2 of my kids. That was awesome. And in the last year, do you realize that there have been over 50 people come into Ashworth Road? Over 50 people who have visited us at some point have come in and said, hey, this feels like home. You know what? This feels like a place God is doing something. This feels like a place I want to be a part. And over 50 people have joined us at Ashworth Road this year. I know it's hard to see sometimes because we have the 2 services, so we can't see everything that's going on, but I just want to tell you, if you were to take everybody that comes to a worship service at Ashworth Road in a month, let's say they come 1 time in the month, do you realize that we would have 299 people that Ashworth Road ministers to in a month period? Isn't that amazing? That's an actual stat from last month, from October. God is doing something here, and it's amazing. And when we talk about numbers and we talk about money, I just want you to know we don't get focused on that in our staff meetings and our leadership meetings. In fact, those things take just a brief moment. Because every person is not a number to us, they're an actual person. It's a family, it's a husband, it's a wife, it's an individual, it's a child that we recognize that we've been called to pour into, to equip for works of service here as a part of this church. It's not about growing something big, it's about making a difference for the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. I love that when I look out over this room and I think about the people who have called Ashworth Road home this last year, do you know what I see? I see people from every tribe and tongue and race and nation. I see people from every socioeconomic background. I see people who have, honestly, their lives put together, and I see people whose lives are an absolute wreck. And it doesn't matter what brings them here, they are all welcome. They are all welcomed into this fellowship. They're all welcomed into this family. They are all welcome to be a part of what God is doing. And my desire has been and continues to be that we will be a church that reaches the unchurched and the dechurched people. Do you realize that a lot of the people we have in here today, if you were to say, were you in church a year ago, they would say no. That's wins. That's when we have success. When people who had faith, had fallen away from faith, come back to faith, that's good. When people who've never had faith before find faith in Christ for the first time, that's good. Now, why do I tell you all this? Why am I just up here bragging and tooting my own horn? Absolutely not, because I'm going to tell you, it's in spite of me as your lead pastor that these things have happened. It is not because of a clever marketing campaign. It's not of a genius plan that your staff has put together. I want you to understand, everything that I'm talking to you about today is for one reason, because of God. Period. The end. And God is doing something at Ashworth Road. I look around. I sat on the front pew this morning, and we sing that song, Good, Good Father. And those words flow naturally off my lips. Because as I look at this body and I think about what God has done, He has been a good, good, faithful, loving Father to us. God is doing something at Ashworth Road. But I tell you all these things as well for a second reason, and it's equally important, and I'm going to try to run through these pretty quickly because I think we need to understand them. And I'm calling them our four imperatives. As we exist as a church, as we continue to minister together, as God continues to bless, as things happen and we move forward and whatever happens in the world, I think there are four imperatives or four attitudes that we need to be desperately aware of in order to continue to be the church God wants us to be. Because ultimately, our attitudes will determine who we become. And what will we be in the future? I think today we're at a pivotal point in our history. I think God is continuing to do something. And as we face these four imperatives, I think we stand at that point to say, will we embrace these imperatives or will we just say, nope, we're good enough? I hope we'll embrace it. What are those four imperatives? The first one is this. I think we begin with a heart of gratitude. The first imperative is we have to be thankful. It's an easy and obvious one, right? If you're a parent, you tell your kids that all the time, right? Say thank you, say thank you. And I have to tell you as a parent, is Luke in here? Is he helping carry today? I can't tell. I'm going to embarrass him. I'm proud of that kid. He has a lot of opportunity in his life. He loves going to ball games, especially yesterday we had the opportunity to go to the Iowa State football game. And without fail, whoever offers him a ticket, he will look at and he'll say, thank you for the ticket. Every time. I can point to people and ask them if that's true, and they'll be nodding their head, yes. It's true. Yesterday, we're going to the Iowa State game, and we stop in Come and Go, and we pick up some drinks, and he wanted some Gatorade, and I give him some Gatorade, and we're walking out the door, and he goes, thanks, Dad. It begins with a heart of gratitude. What does gratitude do for us? It reminds us of our position. It reminds us that everything we have, everything that we've accomplished, everything we are, and everything we hope to be, isn't because of us. Now, we have a role to play and we have a part to play, and we want to be doing the right things. We want to be surrendered to God. We want to be in a place where God can use us. But ultimately, the end result is because of God. And we have to be cautious not to try to stand up and take the credit for it and say, wow, look at what we've done. Look how nice Brent's resume looks. Our church has grown, and man, that's great, so let's put that. No. Everything we are is because of who He is and His great work in this body. And we have to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us this. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, this has been a really good year for Ashworth Road. Probably the best year that I have experienced in my 8 years here, just to be honest. It's been a fantastic year. But I hope that even though it's been a good year, that even if the year had been tough, even if we'd had a lot of things happen that had been struggles and trials that we had to contend with, I hope that we would continue to be thankful. Thankfulness doesn't just come when everything in life is going your way. Gratitude occurs all the time because we recognize that God is still in control. God is the one that has brought us to where we are, and it is God who deserves the praise and the thanks. So we begin with a heart of gratitude that's thankful to God, but do you realize it doesn't end with a gratitude towards God? It's a heart of gratitude towards one another. Now think about that for a second. You're here this morning. You heard an amazing worship team lead us in music today. Weren't they awesome? They were fantastic, just absolutely awesome. So that's amazing. Do you realize that right now there are people in a room right back there that are watching some of your children? And there are people that do that every week. There's another group of people downstairs that are watching the rest of the kids and loving on them and making an exciting place and telling them about Jesus. Anybody here like the donuts and coffee on Sunday morning? You realize those don't magically appear out of the thin air. Somebody gets up early, goes to Hy-Vee, picks them up, makes sure you have coffee and donuts. We have to be grateful. In fact, here's what I want to do. It's just an exercise in thankfulness. Back to the nursery workers, because let me just tell you, that's a very thankless job. You may have noticed we put a camera right back here in the back of the room. Go ahead and look at it. It's fine. You can turn. That camera is not for anything right now except to place a video feed in the nursery so that those that work in that nursery can be connected to what's going on here. So you're not done turning around looking at that camera. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody look at that camera, and I want you as loud as you can to say thank you to our nursery workers. Are you ready? Go! Thank you! There you go. Wave at them. We're very grateful. None of this happens without you. None of this happens without the greeters who have a smile on their face and welcomes that new person and says, we are so glad that you are here. We're so glad that you're a part of Ashworth Road. We need one another. And we have to be grateful for one another. From the kids go and youth workers to going on missions trips, the hospitality team, the greeters, on and on. We need each other. And we need one another because we need each other to play our part in the big story of God. Remember that story for those who were here during that series? We all have a part to play. And so we begin, the first imperative is we are thankful to God. But then we're also thankful for one another. That's where we begin. The second imperative is this. Be alert. No, I'm not asking you to stay awake during the sermons, especially when they run a little long, although that is much appreciated. What do I mean by being alert? My friend Bob Hopper, who's one of our deacons and serves on our leadership team, constantly reminds me of this, and he did it last week when I had lunch with him, and he did it again last week when we had our leadership team meeting. This is a man who has served on leadership in churches before. He knows what he's talking about. He has wisdom in this area. And he said to me, Brent, when things are going good, be alert. Be on guard. You do understand we have an enemy. You do understand that all this, the great things that we have, catches the attention of our enemy. I was telling you guys, there's people. Brandy's a great example. She'll tell you she came to faith in Christ as a child, but hasn't been involved in faith for a long time. And now she's back. Can I just tell you, when things like that begin to happen, our enemy is not happy. And that captures his attention. And he begins to look and say, okay, we've got to stop what's happening there. His goal is to prevent us from having any impact or influence in our world. And he will do whatever he can to do it. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 tells us this. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We have to be on guard, and then we have to be on guard personally, because let me tell you, how does this happen? It begins very subtly. It begins very small. It's little things like just a little bit of gossip, a little bit of complaining or murmuring, a little bit of discontentment. Now, it starts off slow, and then it begins to swell. And it gets louder and louder, and it begins to envelop more and more people until one day you come into this place and there's been a bomb set off, an explosion, and half the people are gone, and you look around and you go, what just happened? Well, I'll tell you what happens. We weren't alert. We weren't on guard. And the enemy snuck in, and he wreaked a lot of havoc. We have to be on the lookout and make sure that we're ready for our enemy when he attacks, and we have to make sure that we aren't going to allow the enemy to use us to bring about this chaos that we're talking about. I think we need to be alert for our enemy, but I think there's a second and equally important thing we have to be on the lookout for, and that is the God moments. We have to be alert, not just for the negative, but the positive things that God is doing. Do you realize that God is always at work right now, even around us in our community and your neighbors and somebody that you work with? God is moving right now. And we don't know when or how that's going to happen or work, but if we are totally oblivious and so isolated and into our own stuff and I can't pay attention to anybody else, we will miss the God moments. No better example, again, than Brandy's testimony. You didn't know you were going to get picked on so much today, did you, Brandy? You know why Brandy's here? You heard it in the video. Her coworker, Kim Runge, has a birthday party and invites her. Even Kim said, I certainly didn't expect you to come, but Brandy surprised her and showed up. And through that conversation and through that invitation, Brandy says, tell me about your church. And today, we baptize Brandy to show the world her faith in Christ. You know what that tells me? That Kim Runge was looking for a God moment. She was paying attention. The biggest concern I have is sometimes we get so busy, we live our lives with so little margin that we don't have time for the God moments. We're too busy. And let me just tell you who's the chief sinner right on that one. This guy right here. I'd love to have a God moment, God, but I'm too busy working for you. Doesn't that sound silly? But how many times does that take place? How many conversations do we not have because, oh, I'm just too busy? When maybe, just maybe, that's the conversation God is wanting us to have. We need to be alert, not just for our enemy, but for those God moments. The third imperative is this: we need to be prepared. The staff will tell you, I don't like surprises. In fact, God help us, we've been talking about Christmas even before the stores put their Christmas stuff out, because I like to plan and I like to be prepared. As we continue to move forward as a church, we need to be prepared. Prepared for what? We need to be prepared for more people. We need to be prepared to love other people who may not look like us, people who may be of a different race or nation, people who may be of a different socioeconomic background. We need to be prepared to get our hands dirty in people's lives, because let me tell you, when God begins to move in people, the messes don't just automatically go away. The mess is still there, and they need people to come in and speak love and truth into that mess and help them get out of it. Are we willing to get our hands dirty? Are we willing to step into the mess that is some people's lives? Are we prepared to rush the very gates of hell to rescue and bring people to Christ? I hope we are. It's not going to happen on its own. We have to be prepared. You realize that last year at this very service, our one worship at Thanksgiving, I asked you this question. How far am I willing to go to tell someone about Jesus? Are we prepared to do whatever it takes? See, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 writes this. He says, though I am free, I belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Are we prepared? Because if we're not prepared, I think we run into two possible problems. We find ourselves resistant, and then when things happen anyway, we find ourselves resentful. Being prepared is very critical. How do we prepare? I think it begins with the understanding that the only thing constant is change. I realize that even saying that, some of you just grabbed the pew in front of you and white-knuckled it and said, oh, dear Lord, he's going to roll out something right now. What is he doing? Oh, my goodness, what's he? Oh, I can't take it. Let me put your mind at ease. Where we sit today as a church, I have no great initiatives. I don't have three massive initiatives or changes I want to roll out. But I just know that over time, over the next 12 months, when we look back again, things will be different. They have to be. Do you know why? Because the thing that brought you to faith is probably not the thing that will bring this next generation to faith. What appeals to us in church may not be what appeals to them in church, and we may need to be flexible in what we're doing. Just like the Apostle Paul said, so that some may come to know Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, our message will never change. Our faith is firmly and securely placed on Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible. Those things will never change. But the method of how we communicate that to our world will have to change. Otherwise, we might as well just lock the doors and call it good, because otherwise nobody's going to care about our method, our message. We have to realize that and be prepared for change that's coming. As I've already said, it's very clear we're not the same church that was launched 44 years ago. Some things have stayed the same, but most have not. Even in my short time here at 3.5 years as your lead pastor, let me just tell you, this church doesn't look anything like what it did 3.5 years ago. Is that right, Donnie? Amen. And that's a good thing. It is a good thing. God is doing some amazing stuff. But we have to be prepared for this. We have to be prepared. Keep the message the same, but be willing to change, if possible, if needed, the method, so some can come to Christ. You know, I remember when we started the second worship service. A little controversial, a little difficult for people to accept. But now we look at it, it's just a part of who we are, right? I know when we come together, there's some out there that we sing some hymns, and you probably go, God, why do we have to sing that old stuff? And some, we sing this new stuff, and you go, are we really going to sing that one more time? See, you just think the staff is ignorant to this stuff. We know. But let me just ask you. If singing that song one more time meant we were able to reach somebody else for Christ, would you be willing to do it? Yeah. If singing that song that's 1,500 years old meant finding somebody who was willing to come to Christ, are you willing to sing that every Sunday? Yeah. Are you willing to start a different service that looks completely different if it was to reach somebody else? Yeah. What are we willing to do? Again, I got no plans. Don't look at me and go, yeah, you're just waiting to drive. You're like, Brent, we like you. Most of the time we trust you, but I don't know about right now. I see the looks. These lights may be bright, but I can still see the looks on your faces. I have no plans, and the staff will tell you we have no great initiatives that we're looking to drop on you. Part of the preparation process, though, is before that ever happens, that we look at our own selves and we say, you know what, God, I'm willing. What does it take to reach somebody else with the gospel of Jesus Christ? As long as we're prepared, as long as we continue to follow the Spirit's leading and be the church God wants us to be, where we can go and what we can do is limitless. It will truly be amazing. Are we prepared for what God has in store? And then there's one final imperative and I'm done. And that's just it. Be hopeful. Be hopeful. I've told you a lot of stuff that I think is pretty great about Ashworth Road. I love getting up in the morning. I love getting up on Sunday morning. I love being here with you. I love my job. I'm amazed at what God is doing. There's no other place I would rather be. But if you think I sit down every Sunday or Monday morning and I get in the office and put my feet up on my desk and I say, well, whew, now we can coast. Nope. Do you know why? Because our best days are not behind us. Our best days are still before us. Everything we are and everything we've done isn't about now. It's about the future. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, but at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Our future is secure. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And our story is full of ups and downs as a church, good times and bad times, great times and difficulty. But our best days aren't behind us. They're right in front of us. And we are not here right now for what we have done, but what we have yet to do. We're not done. If we can stay focused on Him, our God, if we continue to show mercy and seek justice, if we continue to reflect Christ, we will continue to see people coming to faith and joining us on this journey. And isn't that what it's all about? Going and making disciples of all nations. And we're just at the beginning. Our future is incredibly hopeful. So there are our imperatives today. Be thankful, be alert, be prepared, be hopeful. And to be honest, when I look at those, I think for the most part, I like where we are. I don't tell you these things to scold you. I think we're a pretty grateful church. I think for the most part, we're on alert. I hope we're on high alert now, maybe, as we think about how things could happen if we're not prepared. Be prepared. I think most of us are, or all of us even, and I think we're hopeful. I just close with this final thought. This week, our pastoral team went out and we spent some time at a lodge here in West Des Moines planning for 2016. And before we began working or doing anything, we just had soft music playing in the background and we spent time in prayer. And as we prayed, as we sat there, I just kind of moved off to the side of the room and I just knelt before a couch. I'm just going to be honest, I just cried. I just cried and cried and cried. Not because I'm sad, but because my heart is so incredibly overwhelmed at our amazing God. I hope you see that. I hope you understand that what we have gotten to be a part of over these last few years and what God is continuing to call us to be a part of is amazing. There are a lot of churches that can't think beyond their walls. And that's not a criticism. It's where I grew up. It's the things that churches I've been exposed to. To be in a place with people that say, you know what, God, I will go with you. I will go wherever you lead. I will do whatever you call me to do. This is special. And I want you to understand that this is special. And as long as we keep ourselves positioned in this position of surrender, I will tell you, we will sit here a year from now and celebrate again. More of what God has done, more lives transformed, more impact in our community. And we'll do it year after year after year. Because God has invited us to be the people who release His kingdom in this world, to reveal to those you work with and those you live beside what the kingdom of God looks like. And I am proud to look at this congregation and say, this is a church that has looked at that invitation and said, yes. Yes. So there's a lot of rah-rah about Ashworth Road today. I can't help it. It's like a proud parent. I'm proud of you guys. I love this place. I love what God is doing. Maybe you're here today and you listen to a lot of this and you go, I don't know that I fully get it. Can I tell you that all of this begins for all of us with the first step of faith in Jesus Christ? He is the one that transforms. He is the one that changes. He is the one that for everyone that's on this journey, at some point we've said, you know what, Jesus, I believe in you and I trust you. If you haven't ever done that, can I encourage you today, before you leave, find me, find Pastor Amy, Pastor Ryan, and just say, hey, I want to know more about that transforming faith. That amazing person you were talking about, Jesus, and we'll be glad to visit with you about that. For the rest of us here on this journey, take note. Let's be thankful. Let's be on alert for the enemy and the God moments. Let's be prepared for what God has in store. And let's never lose hope because of where our future is going to take us.